Yesterday, when I was young, the taste of life was sweet as rain upon my tongue. I teased at life as if it were a foolish game, the way the evening breeze may tease a candle flame. The thousand dreams I dreamed, the splendid things I planned, I always built to last on weak and shifting sand. I lived by night and shunned the naked light of the day, and only now I see how the years ran away. Yesterday when I was young, so many happy songs were waiting to be sung. So many wild pleasures lay in store for me, and so much pain my dazzled eyes refused to see. I ran so fast that time and youth at last ran out. I never stopped to think what life is all about. And every conversation I can now recall concerned itself with me and nothing else at all. Yesterday the moon was blue, and every crazy day brought something new to do. I used my magic age as if it were a wand. I never saw the waste and emptiness beyond. The game of life I played with arrogance and pride, and every flame I lit too quickly, quickly died. The friends I made all seemed somehow to drift away, and only I am left on stage to end the play. There are so many songs in me that won't be sung. I feel the bitter taste of tears upon my tongue. The time has come for me to pay for yesterday when I was young. These are the words of a song that was out there. Someone else said, when I wore a younger man's clothes. When I heard that song, it would drive me into kind of a melancholic state. And I had a vision of my future, sitting alone in a darkened living room, thinking about the things I used to do, thinking about how life used to be and how it is now. My friend Rusty Weaver, Rusty is the father of my daughter-in-law, turned 70 a few weeks ago, and we're on Facebook together and communicate. We really are friends. And he posted his 70th birthday and followed it up with the letters I-N-D-Y, Indy. Now, knowing Rusty, what entered my mind is that he was planning to celebrate his 70th birthday by planning to go to the Indianapolis 500. That's what went through my mind, and that would be Rusty. But they were all in capital letters, and they were intended to be initials. Indy stands for I'm Not Dead Yet. Well, obviously, I got in touch with him. I will be 70 in December, and I wrote after that, Indy, Indy, and Indy, I'm not dead yet. I'm not dead yet. I don't want to be arrogant. I don't want to be proud when I say that, but I can talk like that because of what God told us when he introduced this chapter about faith. When he introduces faith and talks about how faith plays out in people's lives. Hebrews chapter 11 lays out what faith is and then shows how it played out in various heroes of the faith, how it affected them. Faith in Jesus Christ means that you can look forward to God's promised future. That's what it means. That's what it's about. You see, God's promised faith is rooted in hope. And hope was born in the empty tomb on the day of resurrection. The humanity of Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but the hope of humanity was born in Jerusalem. Jesus was born to be a human being. We will celebrate that later in the year. But he was born to be our Savior, to die in our place. That's what it's all about. The earthly life of Jesus followed the path to Calvary where a cross awaited him. That's where he was headed. That's what he was doing. That's what he intended to do. And when Jesus died, He took the sin and the guilt that of his people. Everyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ knows that their sin and guilt are gone. They are freed. They are freed. Jesus was born to be the solution to the human problem of sin and death. The gospel is good news because it announces this truth. You have sinned. You are in trouble before God. But Jesus died and took his sins upon you. That's good news. I'm glad. One of the nice things about being able to do this sort of thing, I'm glad to be able to announce it again today, that anyone who trusts in the Lord Jesus will be delivered from death. And I can say to any of you who might be here this morning, who have never taken that step of trusting Jesus as your Savior, I can tell you that if you turn to him, he will accept you, he will receive you, he will forgive your sins, he will take away your guilt and solve the problem of death for you. He will solve that. After Jesus died, and that really wasn't the end of the story, after Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose from the dead. Now, if Jesus had not risen from the dead, his death would have made him just another victim of Roman brutality. That's all it would have been. There would be no virtue in standing up here talking about the death of Jesus if we could not talk about the resurrection. Because the resurrection gave birth to hope. Jesus rose from the dead. He was really dead, and then he rose from the dead. He was really alive. He not only solved the problem of sin, he also solved the problem of death. We all dread death. I think kind of confident if I went around and took a poll this morning and say, you feel good about dying? I don't think anybody would say yes. We all dread death. We dread death because it is an end. I always think of death in this way. I'm at a party, and I have to leave the party, and the party goes on without me. But I want to be at the party. I don't want to miss any of it. But I left the party. Death, it seems to me, feels like that. It's an end. It's an end of something. The fact is, earthly life is full of endings, of which death is just the final ending. Childhood, it ends. Being a parent, it ends. Your career, it ends. Your mailing address, it ends. Life is full of endings, and most of them we don't like. And we particularly don't like that last one, death. We don't like that end. It is a mild understatement to say that we don't like endings. And we don't like death. But when Jesus rose from the dead, hope was born. Hope, because he showed that the endings will end. One day, death will be over. What is ahead of the child of God is the end of endings. That's what's ahead. Eternity, eternal life, is life without endings. Life without endings. So hope is now the expectation of your life. You can live expecting that one day there will be no more ends. There will be no more ends. Now, hope is not wishful thinking. For many people, when you use the word hope, that's what it means to them, a kind of wishful thinking. Something you wish that's good, something you wish for that's better. And it would be lovely if it happened. Oh, I hope it happens. Wishful thinking. When you hope for something, you dream about it, you think about it, but you're not sure. That's why it's called hope. But when the Bible uses the word hope, it has a different focus. In Jesus Christ, God's future becomes your hope. That is, it becomes your expectation. Your expectation. That's what God gives. Would you turn to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 8. And we hear about hope. Romans chapter 8, verses 24 and 25. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You see, God gave his promises. God talked about eternal life. God gave us hope that we would have expectation and that those expectations would be formed around his truth. There is no uncertainty in the hope that God gives. So when we say we have hope, that isn't saying, oh, I wish it were so. No. What God gives when we talk about hope is certainty and expectation that you can count on. There is no uncertainty in the hope that God gives. God will do what God said he's going to do. There's nothing uncertain about that. There's no reason to wish for it. That's the way it is. And so you and I can begin to move through life with hope. The expectation that God will do what God said he was going to do. Now, it's true that what is coming hasn't happened yet. That's why the particular word hope was formed to speak of that. It hasn't happened yet. But that doesn't mean that it's uncertain. It feels like something that's uncertain. But see, you can be certain about what God has promised because it's the promise of God. Hebrews 11:1 says, God's promised future comes with assurance and proof. God expresses himself here in Hebrews 11, verse 1, with words that we would ordinarily connect with the world of science. And I mention that because, there's this tension. I have conversations with people about the tensions that exist between science and faith. And you may have been part of some of those conversations. What's interesting is that the language here is the language of science. Our secular and material world says that what is real is material. What's real, well, it's what's here in this room. How do I know it's real? Well, I can see you. If I come to your pew and pinch you, you'll say, ouch! I'm not going to do that. Relax, okay? Unless you fall asleep, then you'd be in danger, okay? You're real. I can see that. That's the way it is. Only what is real is what you can see. That's what you can see. That's what our materialistic world says. If you cannot see it, it is not real. And you can't be sure about it. If you can't see it, you can't be sure. So you understand on this basis how quickly God is dismissed from reality. The secular skeptic would say, if God is real, let me see it. Well, you know, that's not going to happen. So he goes, see? If God is real, says the materialist, I want to see him. Well, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. God has told us that a whole portion of reality is not seen with physical eyes. There's a reality out there. No, you don't see it. It's not real because you see it, but it's real just the same. And the two words that God uses to describe it here are the words that would come out of directly out of science. They're common scientific words. The word assurance, faith is the assurance of things to come, is actually the word substance. Faith is, well, it's the substance, the stuff that if we were in a material world, it would be what you'd reach out and touch. He uses that word to describe faith, something that actually exists. That's the way he speaks of it. The word proof, the proof is, of course, fact that is certain. It is the proof of those events. So you see, what God is saying is the unseen reality of hope is a certified fact. Now, we are comfortable using words like substance and proof when we're talking about the material world. We're not used to hearing them used with something that you can't see. But that's exactly what God says. There's a reality out there, a reality that is very real, a reality you can't see, but it's real. You can be sure about this unseen reality. An uncertain future is not the promise of God. God is not promising something that you can't be sure about. Now, if you ask people around you, people you know, if they hope to live forever, they will probably respond by saying, well, I hope so. I would like that. It would be nice. But see, they will say, I'm not sure. Usually they'll give some kind of a response that says, you know, if somehow the good things I have done in life are more significant and bigger and better than the bad things I do in life, then, well, then maybe I will have life after I die. It would be nice, they would say. I like that. But I can't be sure. Well, uncertainty is not the promise of God. Certainty has assurance in it. Uncertain faith is not faith at all. That's not faith at all. If the only hope you have is wishful thinking or wishing for a good future or hoping simply in the wishful sense of the word for a good future, you don't have much to go on. You're moving on through life saying, boy, it'd be nice, but I don't know. You are assured about God's future. Now, I don't think we should be embarrassed to say that we need assurance. We shouldn't be embarrassed to say that. It's easy to be assured by what you see, okay? And again, I can do that. Are you real? Well, I'll walk out. There's those pews. I could touch that pew. Here's this pulpit. That pulpit is real. Why? Because I can feel it, okay? I guess that's kind of assuring, a sort of assurance there. But putting assurance in what you see can still leave you full of anxiety. The assurance that counts is the assurance about what you can't see. And God gives assurance. He assures us of our relationship with Him. If you go back to Romans chapter 8, you read this. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may be glorified with Him. How do you know that you're a child of God? Well, you probably will tell me about the point where your faith in Christ began, perhaps a day when you trusted Him as your Savior. That's all well and good, but the question is, how do you know today that you are a child of God? What's the answer? You just know. You just know. And how is it that you just know? God gives you that assurance through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in your heart. Look, I can't describe that. It's what God does. You just know. I can't prove it to anybody. If someone came up to me and said, prove that you're a child of God, I would say, I don't know how to do that. Maybe something in my life shows that things are different. And yes, I can describe this experience I had many years ago. I can talk about that. But I don't think that proves to you that I am a child of God. But you know what? I don't have to prove to you that I am a child of God. God has proved it to me. And that's what I need. I need that assurance. And God assures us that we have eternal life. Would you look at 1 John chapter 5? 1 John chapter 5. In verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. There is no uncertainty there. John's been writing to the children of God and saying, I write to you, I want you to know that you have eternal life. He talks about what it is to place your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and the Word of God promises that those who place their faith and trust in Jesus Christ have eternal life. John says, now I'm writing to you so that you'll know. Not wonder, not hope, not guess, but that you will know that you have eternal life. God assures us that we have eternal life. His children have eternal life. That is a life with no endings. A life with no endings. Faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, is your response to the reality of hope. Would you look at 1 Peter chapter 1? 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. The writer of Hebrews says, faith sees what is unseen. Faith sees what is unseen. Faith is to God's future what your eyesight is to the physical world. We see the physical world through our eyesight. There it is. I can see the cars coming on the road. I can be careful. Physical world is seen through our physical eyesight. But we see the reality of hope through faith. We see the reality of hope through our spiritual eyes, as it were, the eyes of faith. That feels like foolishness. Again, I know people that if I sat and had this conversation and talked about this stuff, they would just look at me and roll their eyes. Because it sounds like foolishness. Certainly some of the people around you think you're foolish if you talk like this. You may even wonder yourself sometimes about it. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You are surrounded by the reality of a physical world. That physical world draws our attention We're very aware of all the stuff that goes on in this physical world. But God says faith looks beyond the reality of the physical world to the reality of the world that God has promised us. It looks beyond. And so faith looks and waits expectantly for what God has promised. Right now, your earthly reality may be very difficult. You may be experiencing the reality of physical pain, or perhaps the horrors of chemotherapy. If you're not experiencing them, you probably know somebody who is. You may be struggling with the turmoil of family breakdown, conflict with your spouse, a child who ignores you. You may be lying awake at night wondering how you're going to pay the mortgage or how you're going to make the car payment next month. That may be the reality that surrounds you right now. Faith does not deny your immediate reality, but faith stays focused on the unseen reality of God's promised future. Faith is not a form of escape. It's not a form of escape. Faith doesn't put on a happy face and pretend that the struggle isn't real. That's not what faith is about. Faith is about facing what's going on. Faith does not deny the reality of the pain you feel. Brother Bill Schlonecker, pastor of the Newark Bible Fellowship Church, his wife died suddenly. I'm sure you were praying for him if you were aware of it. I spoke at Pinebrook this year. The messages I suppose they were a kind of therapy for him. But what I took away from it is his statement, which I've heard him say many times. If you think it won't hurt, he said, you don't understand. It hurts. It hurts. That may be the reality you're experiencing right now. It hurts. Faith is not the way to escape that. It is what it is. That's how it is. But faith looks to God, knowing that your future is what He has promised. That's what He has promised. Your current pain will end. One day it will end. God's promise is for a day without pain, a day that has no endings. God assures you, your faith sees that reality. That is what ahead. No matter what it is you're facing right now, no matter what it is you're dealing with, that's where you're at. But God says the eyes of faith will see something else. It will see the reality of what He has ahead. Now, the expectation that God gives is not simply pie in the sky by and by. Again, I have these conversations with people around me. You born agains. You born agains. Pie in the sky by and by. That's what you talk about. Well, that's not what we're talking about here today. What God gives begins now. Right in the middle of your pain, your discomfort, your struggle, what God gives begins now, and it is real now. You don't have to wait around to appreciate the reality. Look through the eyes of faith and see what God has done and what God is doing in you. You don't have to wait around. You don't have to wait around to die to appreciate this reality. This reality is now. The vision, the reality, God allows you to see it now. All of this came to me in a fresh way when I stepped out of the role that I had played for nearly 45 years. Yes, I am a senior. Yes, my hair is gray. Yes, it's all there. Several years ago, I began a conversation with our elders through the Pastor Relations Committee, and I just said, you know, I want to remind you guys, that in a few years, I'll probably be saying, time to pack it up. Okay? I had that conversation. A couple of years later, they came back to me and they said, do you remember that conversation? That conversation about, you know, some point they were going to have to get a replacement? Well, we think we should do it now. My first impulse was to say, but I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it, okay? I don't want to have this conversation. For a couple of days, my head was spinning. Yeah, it was spinning. But suddenly I began to realize that God's life for me is not in the past. And I know that I'm closer to the end of my life than I am to the beginning of it. And I look back and I can talk to you about all the joys that I have known. 6 children, soccer games, tea parties, all that stuff that goes into those special moments. And my life is full of those special moments, and they are wonderful. They are wonderful. But I began to think about the fact that my life isn't in the past. I'm not sitting in a darkened room with the shades drawn, wishing it could be the way it was. My future is in the future. My future is not in the past, not in having what I used to have, but looking forward to what God has for me now. Yesterday, when I was young, is not my theme song. It is not. I do not spend my days sitting around looking back at the way it used to be. Now, I don't intend for this message to be for gray hairs only, okay? If you were sitting there thinking, I hope he gets those gray hairs going, and so that is really not where I intended to be. For those who are busy with family and career, you're not thinking maybe about the things that I'm talking about this morning. I'm pretty sure you're not thinking about them, because I don't know that I spent a lot of time thinking about them. I was just too busy with what I was doing. I was busy enjoying what I was enjoying. And I wasn't thinking, well, now I'm thinking more about those things. Your life is ahead of you. Enjoy. Enjoy what you have. Drink the cup that God's giving to the full. Enjoy it. Deal with the struggles. Deal with the pain. That's how it is. But the point is, God's life is ahead of you. God's life is ahead of you. And you need to live that life of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is the proof of things you can't see. That's where you need to be looking. That's where you need to be looking. Earthly life is full of endings. You know that. You feel that. That may frighten you, this idea of endings. That may frighten you. But God's life, the life that He gives us hope, the life that draws our hope, is a life that has no endings. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that you know our weakness. You know our fears. You know the struggles. You know the joys. Thank you that there is a reality that is very real, even though we can't see it. The reality of that life you give, that life that has no endings and has no end. We thank you for that hope. In the name of Jesus, amen.